Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me later on in the show to talk about live betting mindset and if you should cash in tickets early is Ed Miller, author of The Logic of Sports Betting. But first, let's do a quick recap of week five and then look forward to our week six picks. And looking at the stats from the week, these come from our man, Covers J-Lo, Jason Logan. You can follow him on Twitter. So favorites last week went 6-8 against the spread. Home favorites, 4-6. Looking at the totals, went 7-7. On the season, favorites, 38-38-1, right down the middle. And looking at the totals, 43-33-1, still leaning to the over. Though Ed and I talk about, are we going to see some sort of regression to the mean when it comes to the totals? One thing that Jason tweeted that I also want to make sure you guys know about is first half overs have been crushing. They went 10-4 in week five and on the season, 50-25-2. That's a number of 66.7%. So this week, if you haven't thought about it yet, maybe think about sprinkling in some first half overs in your card. Looking at how we did on our week, 3-1 with our picks, which I will certainly take. Pick a loser, the Jets +7. They got smoked by the Cardinals. It was nice to see that. That was easy peasy the entire way. Our get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week, and this pretty much made my day when this hit, was the Texans -6. Extremely uncomfortable bet, and it was sort of back and forth, except for the fact that the Jags just barfed on themselves. They gave that game away. They had every opportunity to cover, but nonetheless, we got a win with the Texans. We also had a teaser of Cards -1, Rams -1. That was easy as well. Chalk up a win there. And we saw our first loss of the season for the Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week. We're 4-1 on the year. And quite frankly, it was ugly and gross. No part of it should have won at any point because LSU lost to Missouri right out of the gate. The 49ers lost to the Dolphins. Also on top of that, Auburn was super shaky, and the Saints went to overtime. So when looking at the Big Mick, that was not the week for it. But thankfully, we are going to get back on the right track with that, and hopefully we're going to keep our winning ways. So let's get with the get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week. And I'm actually going to do something new and different this week. I'm going to combine the get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week and the pick a loser because I've got two games that I feel the same for both of them. The first one, let's go with the Dolphins -9 taking on the Jets. And this is my uncomfortable bet of the week for several reasons. One, this is one of, if not the highest spreads of the entire week. The freaking Dolphins are laying 9 points, and the number was 8.5 until it got confirmed that Sam Darnold is out. So Joe Flacco is back under center. And with this, the Dolphins, are they really that good? Well, looking at the Dolphins, they're 11th in the NFL in point differential at +23. I do like that. You know what makes me uncomfortable? You are laying almost 10 points with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we all know the magic in Fitzmagic ends at some point and you do not know where it is. I also don't like the fact that the Dolphins are coming off a huge win on the road against the 49ers. There's a good chance that is the best game we see out of the Dolphins all year. And traditionally, we talk about on the podcast, when a team is super high coming off a good win, we want to fade them. However, there is a team called the Jets who are starting Joe Flacco. And this is an auto bet. If you get the opportunity to bet against the Jets with Joe Flacco under center, you take it under any circumstances. So here's why the Jets are terrible. They are currently -86 points on the differential for the season. That is the worst in the NFL by 33 points. They've scored the fewest points in the league and given up the second most. And for this, I'm going to make the Jets my pick a loser. So Jets plus 9. So I'm going to get both sides of that. But I don't exactly feel comfortable laying that many points with the Dolphins, because traditionally you want a team who can steamroll. Like, these are Ravens numbers. These are Chiefs numbers. These are Seahawks numbers at minus 9. So by no means is this a gimme, because we are dealing with a Dolphins team where the expectations were they're probably not even a playoff team. And I'm also going to throw in a second game right here. And let's look at Washington taking on the Giants. And my pick a loser, and this was my original pick a loser, is the Giants minus 2.5. And I did my own power ratings for the first time about an hour ago. And the Giants were my second worst team in the entire NFL, only better than the aforementioned Jets. So am I to believe that the Giants should be favored against anyone in giving points? No, sir. There is no way I would have any faith in Danny Dimes winning by more than 3 points. The question mark is, who's going to be starting at quarterback for Washington? Hopefully it's Kyle Allen. I believe he gives them a good chance to succeed. Looking at the Giants side of things, they've scored the fewest points of any team in the NFC. What makes me uncomfortable about this game, which is why I'm going to make the Washington team plus 2.5 an uncomfortable bet of the week, is this game involves the teams with the second and third worst point differentials on the season at minus 53 and minus 52. So with this, as much as the Giants are a dumpster fire, it's not exactly like Washington is firing on all cylinders. So for me, this is more of a fade on the Giants than it is a vote of confidence on Washington. So for those reasons, I'm making the Giants minus 2.5 my pick a loser, and Washington plus 2.5 as my get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week. Hopefully you can follow that. And then the last thing here, we've got the Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week.
I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
Our goal is just to produce a winning bet. And this week, I'm going to give you a 1, 2, 3, 4-teamer. And one of the things that we learned last week, which is actually someone hit me up on Twitter and they said, hey, Rob, we should stick just to NFL because college is a little bit of a roller coaster, as we saw. Even Alabama, them and Ole Miss, that game was a roller coaster. But on occasion, I'm not opposed to sprinkling in a college bet if we can do so, and I am going to do that. And give me West Virginia minus 14.75 taking on Kansas. West Virginia is a 22.5 point favorite at home. Kansas is absolutely terrible. I've been against Kansas numerous times this year, and it's been fantastic. So give me West Virginia money line. Give me the Dolphins money line minus 405 taking on the Jets. Give me the Patriots minus 405 taking on the Broncos, and give me the Ravens minus 370 on the road taking on the Eagles. And I guess the Ravens give me the biggest pause of any of these four teams. And it's not because I think the Eagles are good, because they're not, but maybe they're just the best team of the four that they're going up against, where the Eagles had a chance against the Steelers. They were kicking a 57-yard field goal to try and take the lead, which, side note, is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Anyone knows you can't kick a field goal above 50 yards in Heinz Field. Nonetheless, a 57-yarder, that was the layup of the century that was going to miss. But there's at least some shred of there's a good defensive line in Philly, and you've got Carson Wentz, whether we like him or not. You got Miles Sanders. So it's one of those things where the Ravens are the only road team that we're backing there. Nonetheless, I do feel confident. So West Virginia, the Dolphins, Patriots, and Ravens, a $10 bet pays out $21.09. And I would love to hear from you. What's on your NFL Week 6 card? Do you have a Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week, pick a loser, or a get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and let me know what's up.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 6 action is Ed Miller, author of the book, The Logic of Sports Betting. He is also the co-founder of Deck Prism Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Ed Miller Poker. Ed, great to have you back on the show.
How you doing, Rob? Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me back.
And excited to be jamming with you specifically on the live betting side of things, because it's something that you mentioned in your book. It's something that's been an ongoing narrative for this podcast and my own sports betting. And the reason I like it is because of the opportunities that present themselves. And I think about when I look at pregame lines, and some of them are so tight. We're seeing a lot of -2.5s or -3s or some of these totals right on key numbers. And you're like, man, I really see this as like a toss up, a 50-50 thing. But then all of a sudden you watch the game and one team goes up 7-0. It may be the favorite now becomes the dog, or it flips around the other way. I'm curious on your mindset and what you're seeing right now in sports betting from a live stream or a live betting standpoint.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I'm obviously, you know, my company Deck Prism Sports, we focus on live betting, and, you know, I really think it's kind of the most fun. You know, I think more fun than pregame betting, because, you know, the action's going on, you know, you're getting opinions, you're constantly getting new lines, you know, and so I think that's fun. And there's also a lot more opportunities, I think, to find good bets.
On the opportunity side, one thing I'm curious about, last night I was watching the Bills Titans game, and I actually jumped on the Bills +12.5 when they were down 18, and you hit me back up saying there was like a 54% probability of this happening. And I'm curious from an advantage standpoint, because I feel like I have so much more opportunity there, but does the live betting numbers reflect it? Because sometimes when a team like the Chiefs in the playoffs, you just know, or when the Lions get up double digits to the Saints 2 weeks ago, where you just know these teams are more susceptible to coming back or blowing leads. And is that built into the back end of what these numbers are spitting out in terms of what we can bet?
I mean, it really varies, right? So pregame, right? The way the pregame numbers work is, you know, someone puts a line up on, you know, now it's, I mean, as early as possible, right? Sunday night, you know, already for the next week. You know, but they put lines up early, right? And then people are betting them all week. And so by the time, by Wednesday even, you know, what you're seeing pregame is basically the combined opinion of hundreds of bettors, right? Now, live is completely different. What, you know, that Bills game, that was what, the fourth quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so whatever book offered you that +12.5, there's basically one person on the other end of that number who came up with that number. That's what you're looking at. You're not looking at the combined wisdom of 100, you know, 200 thousands of bettors. You're looking at one guy trying to come up with the best number you can, really. You know, and yeah, and they have aids. They see, you know, what people have been betting throughout the game. They might have a model or some kind of algorithm that can guide them. But at the end of the day, that's, you know, one guy's opinion.
How much of it is one guy versus an algorithm or a computer? Because some of the times I almost feel like that's where the, can you bake in your knowledge of football over the history of time to say, well, wait a second, there may be some data that Tom Brady and the Bucks get down double digits to the Chargers who are starting a rookie quarterback. And you're like, well, just my spider sense tells me there's opportunity right here.
Right. I mean, so for instance, I mean, you know, so the answer is, I mean, Deck Prism Sports, again, we produce these lines. This is what we do. You know, we do the very best. We have our guy that's his opinion too. And where does his opinion come from? Well, we've got a model. We've worked on that model for years. It's, in my opinion, an excellent model. But in the end of the day, it's only a tool, because it only can take in the information you give it, and then it gives you the answer, right, based on that. But your information could be wrong. Like for that 12.5 bet, right? So the Bills were down by 18. And then the question is, okay, are they going to score a touchdown? Well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I got, my model has an answer for that. My model's answer is pretty good. It knows roughly how often a team in that spot's going to score a touchdown. But then the question is, are the Bills going to go for two or not? Right? Because some of those numbers at that time were 11.5, not 12.5. 12.5, you got the best of that number. You know, a lot of those numbers that I saw at that same spot were 11.5. And then the question is, you know, well, if they score a touchdown, go for two and miss, well, now you're down 12, right? You're not winning that bet. So So then the question is, how often are they going to go for two? Well, in the past, that answer was they're not. You know, teams that are down 18, score a touchdown, kick the extra point, they go down 11. And then they hope for a field goal and a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Well, that's changing in today's NFL. In today's NFL, teams are saying, wait a second, I want to know whether I need a field goal and a touchdown or whether I need two touchdowns. I want to know now. Right. That's really what the going for two there is for, you know, and so as someone who makes lines, you have to bake that in. You have to say, if they score this touchdown, are they going to go for two or not? You know, what's your best guess? You know, and that goes straight into the line. And there's no model that can tell you that. You just have to be one step ahead as the lines maker.
So when you tweeted me and you said there's like a 54% chance that this is going to win, for me, I'm like, well, great. I'll take that bet all day, because we as sports bettors are trying to get, what is it, 52.3% and above to become right. A winning sports bettor. So for me, boom, there's my
bet.
Yeah, so there's my opportunity, and that's my mindset. It's calculated, where I have a better chance than if I'm just laying Bills -3.5 before, or Titans +3.5, one way or another. But let's go back onto your side then, because if a number does get to 12.5 and it is at 54%, well, is the person and or computer or algorithm trying to make that 50-50, or is there a point in which that 54% becomes 56% or above 50%? Like, what's the threshold for when a live betting number becomes so good?
Right. So, I mean, when we make lines, right, normally the lines we're publishing for, you know, our customers, you know, so to be clear, our business supplies live lines to sportsbooks. So there are sportsbooks out there that use our numbers and offer those to customers, and you can bet, right? So throughout the game, the early part of the game, we're basically trying to find that number that's closest to 50-50 and supply that. So we say, you know, if that number happens to be 8.5, we'll give you 8.5. And then for the most part, you know, it'll be like -108 on either side, right? But then by the fourth quarter, obviously with football, you know, there's only a certain number of things that can happen at this point. Either they're going to score a touchdown or they're not. Either they're going to go for two or they're not. Either they're going to come back and kick a field goal or they're not, right? So there's only so many, right? So a lot of times those numbers, there's no number that just splits at 50-50 anymore, right? And you were starting to get to that spot already, you know, last night. And so what we'll do is we'll put up the best number we can, and then maybe make it like -150 on one side and +130 coming back, you know, something like that.
When it comes to taking advantage of live betting, and I mentioned like, hey, look who scores first, are there other things that you would look for as identifiers for, hey, if you're going to be placing live bets, certain scenarios or situations that we should be aware of? So one of them is, hey, when a favorite gets down double digits, for me, oftentimes that, I'm not going to say it's an autoplay, but you look at the Saints game against the Chargers, and this is a perfect example, because the Saints are down 20-3 to the Chargers and a rookie quarterback. And I believe at the time the line was Saints +6.5. And this may have been at half or right before halftime. And I said, who's interested in getting this? And the overwhelming sentiment that came to me was, no way, I am not touching this. Right. Drew Brees is a dumpster fire. And I don't know if there was a single person who actually tweeted me saying they liked it. Well, crazy. So therein lies the opportunity where you're like, so what are some scenarios? Like, because for me, that's how my mind is thinking is Drew Brees, Saints, Alvin Kamara, rookie quarterback, Monday Night Football at home. That's got to be better than 52.3%.
So to me, the way a lot of the models work and the way a lot of the trading works is it's anchored to the pregame line, right? So a lot of the models say basically, okay, well, if it was -3, you know, with a total of 52.5 pregame, and then now this is the situation, you know, and then they do some math and that's the answer, right? So but it is universally true that these live lines are anchored to that, whatever that pregame was. So the further basically the game strays from that pregame, and I don't mean like just randomness. I don't mean like, oh, they threw a pick six or something. I mean like it ain't playing out like the pregame line said it would, right? The more that's true, the more opportunities you're going to find, in the live line, right? Because then, you know, the traders usually are going to, they're going to try to fix it, right? They're not just going to sit there and say, you know, if you've got a total of, you know, let's call it a college game, right? Because this happens more in college. Those pregame lines are, I mean, all over the place on some of these college games. And so, you know, let's say you got a pregame total and it's like 75 or something. And then for some reason, they just come out in the first quarter and they're just, they're not gunning those plays in. They're, you know, it's just a different game than what that pregame line said. Well, the trader's not just going to sit there and just jam in 75, 75, 75, but, you know, then they're on their own. Then again, you're in the situation where it's one guy who's got this model that he knows is not right and is watching the game and is just, you know, trying to come up with the answer, right? So, you know, and so I would say that would be the thing I would look for the most is look for, you know, if that game is playing, you know, that game is, you know, -3 and 51.5. And guess what? The team that was -3 is up, you know, 17-14 at halftime or something. You know, it's just, they're going to get that game mostly right. You know, whereas if it's just wildly different than what was expected pregame, that's where you're going to find stuff.
And I think you give a great example, both in college and on the totals, because my wife went to UCF, so I'm a UCF fan. And I think about the game they had earlier this year, and I don't remember if it was East Carolina or UAB or something, but the total was like mid to high 70s. And after the first quarter, it was like 7-7 or something. You're looking at this and you're like, oh, this wasn't exactly what everybody was expecting for. But guess what? Come the second half, I believe they scored 200 points in the second half.
Where, well, you just have to be careful. Yeah, and you have to, it's tricky because you have to kind of say, well, is it only 7-7 because, like, just, you know, it just, they just, this guy didn't convert a third down. And I mean, is it like one or two bounces of the ball that made it that way? Or is it like something that's real about the way they're playing? You know what I mean?
Well, so for me, I would look into turnovers. So, and that's actually the thing that was the kryptonite for the Bills last night. But if a team who is a favorite, you could even use the UCF example, what if they'd fumbled once or twice to where all of a sudden they're not scoring, they're keeping the other team in there? I'm like, well, it doesn't mean that in theory UCF still isn't good. It just means that they're doing the things to lose the game. So for me, that's where the edge is, because do I expect them to continue to turn the ball over? I'm curious, how much does getting the ball in the second half equate into it? Because once again, in the Saints game, they scored before the half and then they're getting the ball again. And I'm like, wait a second, here's my narrative where they could come back. And I don't know if everybody's thinking that way. I mean, the NFL teams, that's why they're deferring, because boom, you get that opportunity. I have to imagine that's built in.
I mean, 100% that's built into our numbers, right? And I think you're right. I think that kind of misleads certain people's intuition. You know, they see a number and they say, oh, man, but they're forgetting, oh, this team actually gets into whole extra possession, you know? So, yeah, for sure.
One thing that you responded back to me on, which I loved, which I haven't seen anybody talk about, I'm seeing in some of the sports books the option to cash out a ticket early. Yep. And this is something that can be on both just a straight bet. I mean, even right now, if you take a bet, they'll immediately allow you to. You place a $10 bet, they'll be like, hey, you can cash this back out for $9.50 right away. Right. Or if you're doing some of these parlays, and can you tell everyone what your answer was to me in terms of should you do this and what it actually means?
Right. So cash out is just all cash out is, especially if you're cashing out, you know, like a bet on one game, right? I'm not saying like it's a 10-leg parlay and you're three games in or something. But let's say it's a straight bet from pregame on one game, or it's a parlay where, you know, you've already won four legs and you're on the fifth leg, right? So all you're doing when you cash out, when you hit that cash out button, is you're placing an in-play bet on the other side. That's exactly what it is. That's how the sports books, from the sports perspective, that's how they price it, right? So they say, okay, well, you've got the Saints, you know, +7.5. Well, how much would I price the, you know, the other team, the Rams, -7.5 at this point? And then I'm going to give you that. I'm going to basically offering you that Rams -7.5 bet for the entire amount of your bet, right, to cancel it out. So that's all it is it's just basically a new in-play bet that cancels your old bet.
in my mind, and I'm speaking out loud, I thought about the ability to lock in a profit, though. So right. sometimes before a game goes, and not every bet we feel as comfortable about, because maybe the hook's there. Maybe you're at minus three right. and a half instead of minus 2.5. And sometimes you can sit there, and even with live bets, sometimes you're like, all right, well, I see the opportunity, and maybe your team scores first and you're laying 13.5 or a big number where the back door is open, where you're like, man, that's appealing to me. And of course, the amount of profit isn't going to just be a $10 bet. Oh, here's $9.50 back. It's usually something that's significantly less, but it's a profit nonetheless. And I even think about this with live betting, because I've seen instances in which I made a live bet, my team scored, and I immediately had the opportunity to get a 10 to 20% profit just like this. But then I think about what you tweeted to me on, well, you're just taking the other side. What are your thoughts on using it as a mechanism, maybe just to lock in a profit on a bet?
I mean, that's a way to look at it. And that's definitely the way they kind of sell it. But it's there's nothing wrong with that. But realize that the reason why you're able to lock in the profit is because that first bet that you made is now worth more than it was when you bet, right? Let's say you bet $100 on whatever, right? And then your team goes and scores a touchdown, and now they're offering you 120 for it. Well, guess what? That bet's probably worth 130. You know, I mean, that's the reality. You know, it's actually worth, in terms of, like, if you just let it ride and, you know, take what comes, that bet's going to end up being winning you 130 over time.
So I guess I would be curious then on the strategy of waiting because the bet is worth more, because remember, there's plenty of Denver Nuggets tickets to win the NBA title with lots of value on them that never end up paying, as opposed to if you're like, what if I can just start dinking and dunking these wins where you're like just getting the 10%, 20%. And I don't know if that's profitable, but I'm curious on just sort of the difference for you.
So for me, I mean, my recommendation for people who are like, oh, well, let me, you know, this comes up with parlays all the time. This is like so easy to explain with parlay. So let's say you're going to make an 8-team NFL parlay, right? And you're going to put 7 games from Sunday and you're going to put the Monday night game, right? So let's say you bet $100 or something, right? To win 10,000, I don't know, whatever it is, right? So now guess what? You win those 7 games on Sunday. And now you're sitting with this, you know, Rams plus 3.5 ticket that's for $10,000. Guess what you do? You have a $5,000 bet on an NFL game. That's all you got, right? You have a $5,000 bet on an NFL game. Do you want a $5,000 bet on an NFL game? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't buy that parlay in the first place. Does that make sense? You should buy something smaller. You should bet less, or you should, you know, or you should round robin it, or you should do something. It doesn't put you in that spot where you're like, oh crap, I got more money in this game than I wanted, right? And to me, it's the same idea. So if you're like, oh, I bet 100, let me lock in the $20 profit, well, maybe just bet 20 or
30. You know what I really think it is? I believe it is the fear of losing more than it is wanting to win, because you sit there and you're like, I can win that 10 grand, but then you're like, but I could also, I would be really happy if I made 3 grand right now. Right. And the opportunity, but of course we're all sports bettors, and you hear the, should I let it ride or whatnot?
Right.
And I think it's important, because as I thought about myself in the cashing out early, I did not do it because I'm someone who's an entertainment bettor first.
For sure.
I care about more about the action and the fun. And even though the smart side of me says, oh, Rob, you can just lock in a profit, I'm not there necessarily to do it, because I like the feeling of being able to get the Miami Heat plus 23 when they're down 30 in game 6 and be able to ride that out. And maybe there's a bit of ego and validation in there that I just like.
I think you're doing it right. I mean, I mean, the betting's supposed to be fun. And what's fun? Fun is sweating the action, right? I mean, wait, you're getting your, you know, you're getting your whatever, you know, let's say you don't have any edge. Let's say you're just flipping coins, right? You bet $100, you bet into a 4% hold, you're going to lose $4 on average on that bet. Well, $4 is $4. I mean, it's a sandwich, right? It's half a sandwich, right? So if that $4 makes watching that 3-hour game much more exciting, I mean, that's what you're buying, right? So to me, the you're buying a sweat, keep your sweat, you know? And if it's too much sweat for you, might buy less sweat, you know, buy maybe, you know, bet less, you know. To me, that's the answer. Like you should look at how much you're betting. And if you're constantly feeling like, oh man, this is too much, I want to lock it in, bet less. You'll enjoy it more and it'll cost you less over the long term.
Last thing I want to talk to you about is totals. We've seen these numbers creeping up to where last week, I want to say the average total for an NFL game was over 50. And I know that this is an area that you really like on the total side of things. What are you seeing in the market right now and how should we be thinking about totals?
I mean, to me, this is a really interesting situation. I don't want to claim I know the answer, but I can kind of tell you like what I'm seeing, and then it's kind of anyone's guess where this is headed. But, you know, there's kind of a history in the NFL where they kind of tinker with the penalty calling during the preseason, you know. So during the first couple preseason weeks, you know, they'll try calling this more. Or they'll come up with some new thing that they say you can't do and they'll call it, right? And then oftentimes, kind of by week one of the regular season, they kind of back off of it. And they, you know, right? So to me, I feel like we're seeing a little bit of that now. I mean, I feel like we're seeing a little bit of a change in the way they're calling some of the penalties. I think that's contributing to the – I didn't invent this idea. This is – obviously, there's lots of people that – I think it's right, you know, or there's something to it. And then the question is, well, what is going to happen going forward? And to me, the history of the NFL is – often they pull back on these changes and they kind of, you know, the kind of the penalty calling goes a little bit back to kind of normal, but maybe it won't. I saw something saying that the commissioner is so happy that they're scoring all the points now. And I mean, I don't know. But to me, it's interesting. It's an interesting spot because, and then I also think the COVID, you know, stuff and the lack of the preseason and all that stuff matters, you know, the fact that all the home games are different. There's no crowd noise. You know, all these changes that are different this year, I think everything is coming together all at once. And I think it's very reasonable to think about, like, to try to pull all those different factors apart and say, which one's likely to continue, which one's likely to return kind of to normal over time. And, you know, I think you could bet that way. I mean, I think you could very reasonably come to the conclusion that, you know what, the totals are going to go even higher. Let me parlay a bunch of overs this week. Or you could do the opposite. You could say, you know what? I think we're going to see changes in the refereeing. The COVID stuff, everyone's going to get back into the swing of it. That's going to pull the scoring down, et cetera. All that stuff, you know, let me parlay unders. You know, I just think it's interesting. I don't have an answer for what's going to happen, but I do think it's interesting to think about.
The one thing that I saw was the holding penalties in the first few weeks were down very much. But then of the things that I heard last week, holding penalties sort of came back.
Right.
So, and certainly it's no coincidence that we had
stuff like that.
We had the highest total that we've had in the first 5 weeks. And then all of a sudden here comes the penalties. So what I would really be looking at are the extremes. Let me see the games that have the highest totals and let me look at the games that have the lowest totals. Because for me, that's oftentimes where there's the most opportunity is when maybe these offenses or the defenses that are supposed to be good, maybe this is where the offense gets a little bit of an edge, or on the flip side, it's so high right now that there is an opportunity for a few points. Because remember, when those totals are at 55, 52 or whatever, it doesn't mean they're going to score 30. It just means they might not hit 52.
Right. No, for sure. And what you said about the extremes is the right idea for sure. Because, you know, that's also where, you know, a lot of people that bet this stuff, you know, pregame, you know, they've got models and, you know, models. And I, you know, I'm sure everybody's got different models. We have our models, you know, to handicap your game. Other people have their own models. But I will say models tend to break down at extreme situations. You know, it's hard to build a model that gets it right in unprecedented circumstances, if that makes sense, right? You know, models are built on data. Data is built on the past. And if we're looking at something that's never happened in the past, it's just harder for a model to really nail it. So, yeah, I think looking at extremes is a worthwhile way to approach it.
Ed, really enjoyed jamming with you. For everyone listening, I highly recommend you check out his book, The Logic of Sports Betting. It's something that's just going to make you a more informed better for moving forward in where the world of sports betting is going. Ed, where can everybody connect with you?
I'm on Twitter way too much. So feel free. Ed Miller Poker is my Twitter. And I talk there constantly. So if you want to ask me a question or anything, hit me up there.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 6 card? And if you're doing any live betting, let us know about it. Let us know your mindset and how you're getting down. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And I want to give a big shout out to all of you who do engage with us on Twitter, who have given us a rating and review on iTunes. It means the world to us because we're building a community. We're sports bettors just like you. And when you show us love, we will show you love back on social media. Or if you give us a rating and review, we'll show you some love on this show. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. What's wrong with it? The Funkadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.